Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk.
Well, we are reacting to the results of yesterday's elections across blue states, blue areas. We can't really think of a Republican, a marquee Republican that won, right?
Not even a marquee. I mean, we can't even think of a Republican that won yesterday.
And if we came up with him, you'd probably never heard of him
right.
either. Prop 50 in California. It's good.
I saw
lawsuits being filed right now to try to stop that in its tracks. Who knows? You know, every time something enters into the legal system, I'm like, it's going to go through the foul ball of the legal system, which is an appeal, where you think, oh, we're finally going to get an answer, and then foul ball! It goes through an appeal cycle, and you start over and over and over and over again. So we will watch and see how that materializes. We're going to speak with Dori Murdoch here in just a second. Of course, a nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor. I think it's important to pay attention to a lot of the reactions that are coming out of here. A lot of people are kind of saying New York is getting the government that it voted for. But also, as we were saying before, Dana Perino quoted George Will. We played that clip where he said, you know, George Will said every 20 years we got to go through this governmental experiment of watching some sort of socialism be put into play so that everybody can remember that the adults need to be in charge. Maybe that's happening in New York City. I will remind you that at my 41 years of age, I haven't really seen socialism. I haven't seen a socialist openly campaign as a socialist without, you know, kind of trying to sneak it in the back door, be charming on the front end like Zoran Mamdani was. And then we see in his speech last night, it's kind of a hostile speech. He was pretty fired up. And it really felt to me like Zoran Mamdani's victory speech, the first person he wanted to talk to was Donald Trump, not the people of New York that who would soon be governing, the people who sent him into the mayor's office. Let's ask somebody who is in New York City, near and dear to his heart, this race. And sad to say, it didn't go your way, Dori. But welcome back to the show. We're speaking with Dori Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and Fox News contributor. Dori, how you doing?
I'm great, Comrade Frey. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Frey, Comrade Frey, excuse me. in the newest socialist age, we'll call each other comrade. How about that?
Friend. I mean, let me ask you this question. Is it going to be as bad as people thought it would be?
It could be. I've heard people saying, well, look, there's not that much Mayor Mamdani can do. He's mayor-elect when he becomes mayor because the state legislature can intervene. The governor can stop him, et cetera. Well, look, if you had a Republican state legislature or Republican governor looking at him saying, nope, you can't do this, you can't do that, maybe that makes sense. But you've got a governor who endorsed him. And then the state legislature in Albany is to his left. I mean, if anything, they're even more radical than he is. So the idea that folks in Albany are going to try to put a brake on Mamdani, I think is laughable. If anything, they'll be egging him on, saying, go, baby, go. So I think that's a problem. And even if they did say, look, you know, we're not going to raise taxes because this is going to accelerate the exodus from New York City to Palm Beach and, Nashville, et cetera, et cetera. He has pretty much complete control of the police department. And just if absolutely nothing else, he says to the police, okay, don't arrest people for misdemeanors, go easy on criminals, let people shoplift as much as they want, and so on. And you see policemen just either resigning and leaving, retiring early, or just not coming in as young cops or rookies into the police academy or coming in small numbers. The ability to fight crime is going to be diminished. He doesn't strike me as a good guy who's dedicated to crime, to fighting crime. And if nothing else, I think the law and order situation here is going to deteriorate very badly, even if Albany steps in and keeps the worst excesses of his socialist economics at bay. And I'm not even convinced he'll do that. So some people have been able, whistling past the graveyard saying, oh, he'll be a symbolic figure. Look, I've lived in New York City long enough to know that just the tone coming out of City Hall can make such a difference. When Giuliani was mayor, he came in, and literally within a month, just the way he behaved and things he said and didn't say, the place started to feel different. Conversely, when de Blasio came in, within a month or two, things started to feel, oh boy, things are falling apart, things are spinning out of control. So So just by his tone, manner, and basic leadership style, we can get a lot of damage done by Mamdani early on, even if people from Albany step in and try to put a rein on him, which I don't think they're going to do.
Dori Murdoch speaking with us right now. We kind of had this conversation a little bit earlier in the show, but is it possible, is there any possibility that socialism works in New York City? Is there any way that, you know, we're all going to have to sit back that are not living in New York City like you are and watch and see what happens? But Zoran has sold this message. It's a very exciting and hopeful message because you're going to have everything you need now. Finally, there's someone in charge who's going to give you everything that you need. You're not going to, you know, have rent hikes and expensive groceries anymore. All of that's about to be fixed with Mamdani. Is there any way that what he says he's going to achieve, that the people of New York City 2 years in are going to say, gosh, he really did it?
No. Next question. Look, this reminds me of a wonderful line from the musical Evita, and I highly recommend the film Evita starring Madonna, which I think is 30 years old now, if I'm not mistaken. It's a great movie, and it shows why a lot of these socialist ideas are a disaster. And there's a line in there that says something, and she says, it's all sung, by the way, it's all musical. She says something like, we want a government that's big enough to give us the things we deserve.
I think that actually was a quote from Mamdani's speech last night.
Was that right?
That's
well, there you go.
It's pretty close.
Exactly. So look, socialism has been tried from 1917 in Russia, which became the Soviet Union. It failed there. It was tried across Eastern Europe after World War II. It failed there. It was tried in China. Not only did it fail there, but it cost the lives of about 60 million people. It was tried in Vietnam and Cambodia. It failed there. It was tried in Cuba. It didn't work there. It was tried in Angola and Ethiopia and other places in Africa. It failed there. No one's been able to point to anywhere where socialism has worked. People say, well, look at Sweden. Well, you look at Sweden, and Sweden's thriving now, in part because they threw the socialist yoke off some years ago, and they did things like, I believe they have universal school choice there, and they also have something along the lines of private retirement accounts, as President G.W. Bush tried to do. So, quote-unquote, socialist Sweden is actually much less socialist, much more capitalist, and people may remember it as being a failed socialist state, which is now succeeding because it's not, and a lot of people kind of forget that transition in the middle. You know, some places have been able to get by okay with very big government like the UK, but they're still lagging behind the US and lagging behind a lot of other more successful countries. And the basic problem with this is when people are working not for themselves but for the benefit of others, they don't tend to work so hard. And at some point, people get tired of paying high taxes for poor services, and the money doesn't come in, and the promises, the money can't keep up with the promises, and pretty soon the promises turn to nightmares, and down we go. So I suspect what will happen is that we'll try New York style socialism, and it'll fail here as it's failed everywhere else has been tried.
So, you know, for a lot of us watching all of these blue states and blue cities have Democrats be elected. I said yesterday that we did a poll and we asked our audience if they thought that there would be any kind of upset in these blue areas. And I said no, I didn't expect one, but I thought the things that we did need to pay attention to, let's say Democrats do run the table, we need to pay attention to turnout, and we need to pay attention to margin of victory. And both of those things were in the Democrat favor yesterday after the election results finally came in. What's the takeaway for Republicans in this off-year election? Are we worried about the midterm elections in 2026 due to the results we saw last night?
Yeah, we should be terrified. Absolutely. I don't have the figures, and I'm sure the figures will be out soon if they're not already. But we had a couple of things happen. One is that many people like us have said, look, the Democrats are out of ideas. The only idea they have is Trump derangement syndrome. Well, guess what? That's an idea, and that's a motivating idea. And there's people who may disagree on taxes, spending, school governance, et cetera. But one thing they agree on is, boy, we hate Donald J. Trump. Let's all show up and stick it to the man, stick it to the orange man. And they did. And that alone is probably a big part of the reason that Democrats showed up. And they thought, well, you know, we can't do anything about the shutdown. We can't do anything about Trump's policies. We can't do anything about the Oval Office. One thing we can do is show up and vote for Mickey Sherrill and Abigail Spanberger and Zoran Mamdani, et cetera. And they did. So that's part of it. You know, the Democrats' hatred for Trump can be a very motivating force and enough to get people to polls. Second, and this is what I need to confirm, and I don't know if this is the case, but I fear that a lot of Republicans thought, well, look, it's the golden age. Trump's in charge. He's in the White House. The beautiful ballroom is being built. He's doing peace deals. He's doing trade deals, et cetera. This is magnificent. I'm just going to stay home and, you know, play with the kids or watch a movie or take a nap or go play tennis or whatever. Trump has it under control. That is a terrible idea. Every Republican, every election needs to go to the polls. We need a 100% turnout of every registered Republican and philosophical conservative and thinking Democrat who wants to join with us on these things to show up. And just thinking, well, I'll just vote once every 4 years. I'll vote for president. That'll be the magic wand that fixes everything. That's not going to help for governor. That's not going to help for the state assembly and state senate, state house of delegates, whatever it is in various states. It's not going to do for city council. It won't do for the county commission. It won't do for the school board. And Republicans need to show up at the polls. And this idea of just I'll vote for president, that's it, is ridiculous and highly ineffective and frankly dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hear that every Republican showed up, but more Democrats showed up than we did. And so we did our jobs. They just did their job above and beyond what we did. My fear is a lot of people stayed home. And when Republicans stay home, guess what? Democrats show up. And the next day, your taxes are going up. The spending is going up. The quality of your schools is going down. Your streets get more dangerous. Your streets get more dirty. So every Republican needs to show up 100% of the time for every election, period. And especially these days, you know, in the past, we had the excuse, well, I had to work that Tuesday, or, gee, I had to pick up the kids.
That's an expensive work day.
You know, I got stuck, a very expensive work day if you don't make it. I got stuck in traffic. Now you can vote at home. You can vote early. I'm not crazy about the early voting. I'm not crazy about I really hate the mail-in ballots, as a matter of fact. But given all of that, no Republican has any excuse whatsoever for not getting a ballot either cast at the polls on Election Day, which is what I do. I always vote on Election Day. Voting early if you have the opportunity, or absolutely nothing else. You get yourself a mail-in ballot, you fill it in, you drop it off at the mailbox or directly at the Registrar of Voters if you can, and cast your ballot that way. There's no excuse for anything less than 100% universal Republican participation in every election going forward. And I hope last night teaches Republicans that lesson once and for all, forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. We're wanting to continue our weekly updates with you because this is an experiment that a lot of people need to pay close attention to, how this does materialize once he's sworn in and is no longer mayor-elect. We need to know what it's like there from the ground, and you always give us the greatest insight, Droy. Thanks for being with us. I was thinking about you last night. I was glad that we got to talk to you today, and we're looking forward to continuing to get the updates from you as we move forward through this.
Socialism with show tunes.
There you go. Only here on the Annie Fry Show with Droy Murdoch. We appreciate you. Take care.
Very good. Thanks, Annie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Comrade, right? That's what we're saying. Comrade Droy Murdoch, newly mandated way that we have to speak. That's not true, but it might be soon. You heard it here first. All right, let's take a quick break. The YouTube poll. Who is favored in the 2026 midterm elections, Democrats or Republicans? Let us know how you feel about that one. And we'll read some of your comments on the air. You can also text us your thoughts at 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Who you got, Democrats or Republicans, in the midterms, and why? Let us know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
How's the stock market doing today?
Oh, good question. I haven't looked.
Kind of wonder how the markets are faring with socialism.
Dow Jones is up.
Yeah, 300 points. All right. I looked at my 401k last night, which would have been obviously a close before the election results were in, and it was down. But
I think that this always happens when the expected happens, because Wall Street likes predictability. So if the favorites win, the markets usually do good for a couple
of
days.
No, if it's really when the favorite's a socialist. There might be one caveat to predictability, which absolutely is what the markets prefer. When you're predicting a socialist becoming the mayor of the biggest city in the land, is Wall Street like, yeah?
Well, long term, they're not.
I don't know.
But short term, I think that usually does. That's why when Donald Trump was elected in 2016, the market just that day, whoosh, straight down, because it was so unpredictable. And then it returned fast, though, when they started to look at his policies.
Anything else you want to talk about with the election? I'm kind of close to done with it. What do you think?
I do think there's some truth to the fact that conservatives are moving out of blue areas. It's not the only reason that yesterday was a pretty good blowout for Democrats, but it is a reason. And it's one of the reasons that it's going to be harder and harder to see moderates elected in blue areas, because the average voter is moving left when conservatives are leaving. So, unfortunately, it's contributing to the polarization of our politics even more, because, you know, you look at a governor of New York or a governor of Illinois, for that matter, or Oregon, California, they're going to be pretty far left, or at least they're going to have to pander that way and present themselves that way to win those votes. Meanwhile, conservative states are getting bigger, so that's probably good news, while blue states are getting smaller, less and less representation, but that takes time too. So, I don't know, these are big ships that take a while to turn in the ocean.
Big what?
Ships.
Oh.
These are big ships we're taking here.
Gosh. If anyone's taking a big ship, we know it's Ryan Wiggins.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest ship.
Biggest ship. Because I eat a lot before bed.
You never know, folks, when it's going to happen.
So anyway, you came for that kind of election analysis, and you got it.
This reminds me of the Beaker comment yesterday.
Yeah, we're about due, aren't we?
Yeah.
Isn't this about time?
Where's Beaker when you need him?
Things, we got to go, okay.
I bet Beaker takes little ships.
Yeah, all day.
Guys, we just elected communists. We have to have fun. We have to find a way to lighten the mood.
He's not our communist, though.
No, he's not my
communist. He's way over there. They can do whatever they want over there.
You can take the biggest ship of them all in New York City now. Right there on the street. You're not even going to get in trouble.
Man, yesterday I took a Titanic-sized ship.
Ryan, there was the line behind you.
This is political.
No.
I did, because I went out on a limb and I said that Jay Jones was going to win, and that was my Titanic ship. See, it doesn't make any sense, but I tried.
I wish you wouldn't have. I wish we could go back about 90 seconds. And then I wish I would have righted the ship that this show is. Now I'm going to say this wrong.
Listen, I'll tell you the truth.
Brad's very close to the dump button.
What popped into my head was the phrase Titanic-sized ship.
I'm pretty sure that Brendan Carr at the FCC would hear what we said and be like, I think it's fine.
Oh, yeah. I think that guy's probably a huge fan.
They were making some sense, and the people need to hear about the big ship being taken in New York City right now.
Well, like I said the other day, the ship rolls downhill. These comparisons don't work in any other context.
I don't know that they work right now. You're just saying phrases and substituting a P for a T.
It's funny. This is a great segment. This is what we needed as Americans. It has nothing to do with me and you.
Why are you talking like this?
Bigger than us after yesterday?
This is where people have just gotten back into their office from lunch. They've been out. They've been doing business. Well, we still can in this country. And they are like, I got to get back. I got to know what they're talking about with the election. And they just tuned in now. And they're like, I can't believe these people. They're not taking this seriously at all. And I've been taking it seriously for an hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah, you should have listened to DeRoy. That's your fault for just getting back into the business now. You should have been listening from noon. We were serious. You were. I was just kind of sitting here for most of the first hour.
Let's go to a break. Let's,
you know what?
Let's write this ship.
Reset.
I'm going to write the ship here in the break and let Ryan go to the bathroom. Don't go away. Vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Who is favored in the 2026 midterm election? Ryan, I told people they could text us their thoughts as well. Who's got the favorite, Democrat or Republican Party for the midterms? Congress hanging in the balance. 314-241-9797. If you want to text us, you can comment on the YouTube live. We'll highlight some of your thoughts next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
For you, New York City.
To the left, to the left. He didn't even try to do it.
I was going to ask him on the air, you scooped me.
Well, I don't know that
Never mind,
he didn't.
Ethan,
I'm
we
assuming.
Don't even need you anymore. Ryan's doing your segment for you.
I'm assuming you didn't. Did you plan that?
Ryan. You need a reboot.
Will you please
take Ryan out of the studio and unplug him and plug him back in?
Let me pull him by the ear.
Yeah. I apologize, guys. The ship is really hitting the fan.
Song starts going to the left, and we all go off air. We're like, oh, and then Ethan giggles like a little boy out there and goes, I didn't even do this on purpose. Because he picks the music.
That's a new one.
It's a serendipitous thing to happen. Did you pay attention to the election results, young Ethan?
I saw Fox call them early last night, and that was just about it. I honestly, nothing really surprised me except for the Jay Jones one. I was just like, man, that's where we're at. You know, you can make threats against people for their political affiliation and still get voted in the office. All right.
Cool. What if I make a shirt that says, "This show is the ship"?
Better have a picture of a ship on it and not
have
poop.
A picture of Ryan's face on it.
I'm going to put an apostrophe before the ship because that's what the kids call the championship.
Oh, I didn't
it's
know
true.
That.
Yeah. This is true.
That's why I'm here, is to connect you to the youth of America.
How old are kids are you talking about? 6, 7?
Wow, he's so fresh.
Now I'm going to pull you really out by the ear.
Yeah, trust. You are not cooking.
I'm cooking.
Okay, let me tell a story real quick.
Please.
Last night, I had a load of things on my plate last night, and the election was not one of them. I was like, it'll be what it'll be. And me, it's not directly affecting me. I obviously have to know about this stuff for work to talk about it here. But we've got a lot of things going on in our house right now. Some things that are pretty heavy, we're dealing with them. Okay. We are upstairs. One of my kids is very upset.
Not about the election, just to clarify.
No.
Got it.
Very upset. We're working through it. And Evelyn, my 9-year-old, comes upstairs to check on the other sibling who is going through something. And like, this is a life thing that one of my kids is going through. It's like a real heavy burdened life thing. And we're talking it out, and we're walking through it. And Evelyn walks in, and she's 9. And she goes up next to the bed. She goes, Mom, Donnie won. And she put her hands on her. And I was like, I just said out loud, oh, no. I go, do not go to 4th grade tomorrow and say that. Just pretend you don't know that is actually even a thing.
Oh, I was going to say the opposite. I thought she should go into class and just tell everybody Cuomo won. Hey, everybody.
Just put everybody's minds at ease.
You know who won last night? Curtis Sliwa.
How about that beret? And I just thought to myself, like, while one of my kids is going through something that affects the heart and the soul, and that, you know, like, I'm not being alarmist here for, like, don't fret about it, whatever. You can pray for him. But there's this burdensome thing that's happening to my kid, and my other kid comes up and is like, both hands on the side of her head. Mom, Donnie won. And I thought, I don't give a ship.
Yeah.
Like,
new day, same old ship.
Steve's going to get mad. I don't, like, in that moment, I thought, in this household, that doesn't matter to me at all. And it was kind of an interesting perspective to have because when we're asking the question in the YouTube live chat poll today about who's favored in the 2026 midterm elections, I was tempted to say, to put an option up there that says, I don't really care right now. But I also want to know who people think are going to, who's got the upper hand right now. So I wanted to genuinely ask the question. But I also feel compelled to tell you right now, if you're, I saw a comment and I don't know that, I don't think we started. It was earlier in the show, but someone was reacting to what I was saying probably in the 12 o'clock hour or whatever during the show. And they were like, Andy, if you're going to be outraged about politics in America at any time, this is the time to be outraged. Because I probably said something in the 12 o'clock hour like, keep her cool, keep it together. I don't know. And I just think we have to have a balanced approach. If you are a Republican and you are 9.5 months into Donald Trump's second term after a momentary mental lapse with the Joe Biden administration, we can't miss the opportunity to understand that there is still a lot of good that is going to be done in this country while Donald Trump is the president. Imagine your gut right now if Mamdani won and Kamala Harris was the president. I can't even picture what that looks like. That, I mean, kind of to the point of what was said during the election, we're toast in that instance. We're not toast right now. We have the greatest fighter of my lifetime in the presidency against all odds, evading bullets, evading a lawfare that this country has never seen before. He's somehow or another the president of the United States, and I think that's a blessing. And I think it's a warning that a socialist is going to win in New York City. You know, when I asked Dory Murdoch, did you hear me ask Dory Murdoch the question? Is there any possibility that Mamdani gets in there and he's implementing the policies in New York City and it goes well? And he paused and then he said, no, next question. which he's never been at a loss for words in a conversation with me before. I mean, according to Dory Murdoch, a New York City resident, there's no possibility that socialism is going to get comfy and cozy and functional in the city of New York. I hate when I say that. New York City. So now we wait. And while socialism is taking off in New York City, we've got about a 1-year head start with Trumponomics taking place in this country. And this is what I was teasing a little bit earlier in the show. The midterms will 100% rely on the economic success of Donald Trump's plan. Of his America First agenda for our economy, for taxes, when the big beautiful bill tax edits that came through, are they going to work for the American people or not? We're going to find out real soon. And if they don't work for the American people, then we have to advocate for something that is going to work for the American people. We have to advocate for something that is going to be beneficial in a tangible way for the American people. Donald Trump needs to deliver on that, and we should have that expectation. We should have that pressure on him to deliver. But I don't think for a second that Donald Trump is going to get lazy or complacent in his effort to try to make America great again. It's like, try to stop him. He's been talking on in Miami at a business forum. You know, I always think, like, should we dip in and listen to this? And I'm always like, he's going to go for a bit. I think he's been talking for an hour, close to it. This man's not going to stop. And if you don't know, you know, I'm going to say the enemy here, and I mean that as an opponent, but socialism is an enemy of the United States of America. There's no doubt about that. Socialism is an enemy to greatness in this country, and we are going to get an up-close and personal understanding of what that is. And I cannot stress enough that for a lot of you people who are listening, I know that I'm younger than a lot of our listeners, people my age don't know what this looks like on the grand stage that they're about to learn, which I think is an opportunity. Are we going to see even more so economic success? You know, look, compare Florida and New York. Where do people want to live? Florida and Illinois, Florida and California. California is about as good of a climate as you can possibly ask for, and people are fleeing. What's going to happen next in this country? We're going to get an up-close and personal look at what our options are. And the Democrat Party right now, I would be a little worried if I were in the Democrat Party and I was thinking that we have to get some sanity back into the conversation. I was having a conversation last night with one of my dearest friends who is a staunch Democrat, and we go round and round, and we love it. That's totally fine. We completely agree to disagree on a regular basis. But he was saying he's looking at the Andy Beshears of the world. Nobody's talking about Andy Beshear right now, but Andy Beshear would be frightening to me as a Republican if the Democrats would rally around a guy like Andy Beshear, probably Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. If they would rally around a normie who happened to have leftist policies and ideologies that weren't socialist, that would be scary to me up against a J.D. Vance, up against a Marco Rubio, up against a Sarah Sanders. That would be something I would be concerned about. It's frightening to think about what socialism would look like on a national stage in this country. But we don't have a country that nationally is going to vote for socialism. And if I think one of the things that I would love to see the Trump administration push is a redoing of the census. Mm-hmm. To identify that the last one was an absolute abject failure. We need to redo the census, and we need to redo it now, so that we can have an honest count of who is in this country. An honest representation on Capitol Hill of the people who should be represented in our government. We need to have that recount. It needs to be honest. We need to have an honest depiction of the people who work their tails off, the people who deserve to be counted. Who does deserve to be counted? What the count right now is heads, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just anybody who's there. Doesn't matter what your status is, you're just there.
I think that if you're here legally, you should be counted. I think maybe some people might make the case that you should have to be a citizen to be counted. But if you're here and you're eligible, if you're a legal migrant and you're not a citizen yet, and you're able to, and you're contributing and you're paying taxes, I would be open to the argument that you should be counted. But if you're here illegally, what in the world are we doing counting those people? What in the world are we doing giving money out of the paychecks of people who are in the system to people who have shirked the system to get here, to stay here? Just get in the system. And if you can't do that without getting back in line, that is unfortunate. But the sooner you get back in line, the sooner you'll be back here.
It's insane that we give congressional apportionment based on people who can't even vote for those congresspeople.
Remember New York City passed, I haven't heard anyone talking about this to the point where I feel like maybe I don't remember it right, but didn't they just pass a law that you don't have to be a citizen to vote in those local races?
New York did, and a couple other cities did. I think that they've gone through, just like you were saying, with courts. The courts system slows it down, eventually struck it down. But unless it was that recent, because there's been these things floating around for a couple years now.
I think that there's a huge, huge benefit to redoing the census immediately. Mm-hmm. You can't do a head count tomorrow, but it should be in motion tomorrow.
There's been an unbelievable intra-country, not external, intra-country migration that would necessitate a new census. You don't have to do it, but it would be more accurate if you did it, because COVID was the beginning of mass migration intra-country. It's still happening, though. So you could get a snapshot right now, and it would look very different than it did even 2 years ago, because there's that much migration happening between states.
ChatGPT says that New York City passed a law in 2021 to allow non-citizens with certain residency work authorization to vote in municipal elections. But the state's highest court, the New York Court of Appeals, ruled that law unconstitutional under the state constitution, finding that voting rights must be limited to citizens. Which, if you can prove that in New York, I don't understand that if New York is saying voting rights must be limited to citizens, why you don't have to prove citizenship to be a valid voter. We've already determined that. And golly, it's bad to make decisions when you're on tilt. That's the way I always refer to it. Because when I'm on tilt, I'm not always necessarily angry. Sometimes I'm hyper motivated. And I don't need to be running through brick walls, leaving Annie Freishow shapes in the wall as I go through to try to achieve whatever it is I'm trying to achieve. But you got to let it simmer a little bit. But when Donald Trump was talking with the Republican senators this morning and saying, you need to get rid of the filibuster, and we need to get everything done. The Democrats are going to do it on day one when they take back the Senate. I think that's true. Why in the world would the Democrats not? I don't think there's... I'm 99% sure that the Democrats are going to make that happen. And we just had that vote. I just had that poll earlier in the week, right? We did that this week. That was Monday's poll. Should they get rid of the filibuster? Yes, just for the shutdown. Yes, to get everything done, or no? You guys were both okay with it for the shutdown. I said no, but that's what I'm saying. I'm on tilt right now watching the Democrats do and move in the direction the Democrat Party is doing right now. That when Trump is saying that the next morning, I'm like, he's right. The Democrats are going to do it. And I have this conflicted thought process, and like, well, if they're going to do it, then we should do it first, because if we don't do it first, we might never get to do it again. They're going to add states. The DC is going to be a state. They're going to make, you know, what is the other one? Puerto Rico or whatever, a state. They're going to do all of these things because they're going to get the levers of power, and they're going to do it right away, and they're going to do it while they smile at us. Then why wouldn't the Republicans do it right now and make voter ID the law of the land? And then I could go round and round arguing with me as to why we shouldn't do that. I don't know. I don't have the answer. We should do the poll again. But like I said, I'm on tilt right now. Maybe my better laurels would prevail in a week or so.
We'll do that poll every Monday until they remove the filibuster.
Yeah. It might be before next Monday. You never know. We'll see. YouTube live chat poll. Who is favored in the 2026 midterm elections, Democrats or Republicans? Go vote. We'll be right back. So in the election results of yesterday, there was a CNN Virginia Attorney General exit poll by gender. 58% of men voted for the Republican. 55% of women voted for Jones in this CNN exit poll. Joe Concha retweeted this poll and said, asking an obvious question here, but how could any woman hear what Jones said about wanting his opponent's wife and young children dead and still vote for this person? I think that, and I know that Turning Point USA was, you know, very much so founded in Charlie Kirk, and he was very much like part of the, what's the best way to say this? Like the movement to restore men in culture and society as men, but not in like the toxic masculine Andrew Tate kind of psycho bizarre, I can't stand that man, way. But I mean, honestly, I would just, this won't resonate with everybody, but it will resonate with a lot of you. It's like a biblical understanding of the role of a man in society and relationships and so on and so forth. And Charlie Kirk was a champion of that, and he was unapologetically so. Out with what he thought men should start being and how men could actually be happy. And he also spoke to how women could also find the same kind of happiness, albeit through a different path, because men and women are different. And when Charlie Kirk passed away, there was kind of this like momentary thing where it was like Erica Kirk was now going to deliver the women. I don't know how Erica Kirk is supposed to manage this time of her life. If she doesn't talk, or if she does talk, people are going to be frustrated with her either way. She is a widow. She gets every grace and concession that I could possibly give her. I can't even imagine. What I don't really need from her right now, and I completely understand if this is what she needs to do right now. If she feels like what she needs to do in the wake of her husband's assassination, that she needs to go out and advocate for the cause. I don't need Erica Kirk to pick up the political mantle right now for me. Like, that's just not what I'm looking for from her. But I will say that while I think that the whole trad wife, if you haven't heard of that, that is a emphasis on a traditional way of living for women who raise children. They care for the home. They make the dinners. They do the traditional things that women in society over the course of decades, centuries, longer than that, have done. That re-entering the traditional woman back into culture as really an elective lifestyle that you could adapt for yourself and be proud of. I think that that is a really good thing to enter back into society. But I think there has to be some other kind of movement adjacent to it, not instead of it, but with it, that also empowers women to embrace their families, to have children, to have careers if they want to have careers, whatever, you know, part-time, full-time, whatever it is. I kind of feel like the trad wife thing has been presented in a very either-or way. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
Like, the movement, the influencer movement is like, this is how it should be.
Yes, and it doesn't, it's not, it really is more of a buffet than that. You can have aspects of it, and you can have aspects of this at the same time, and manage it fine.
And I think a woman would be able to make the decision as how to do that best for herself.
Seems like that would be feminism.
That's what I am. I'm a raging feminist. I had like a girl power shirt in 1996. And my dad didn't like it. He's like, why do you need that shirt? And I was like a athlete doing all the things. And it was obvious to me that he saw culture trying to uplift girls in a way that eventually now my kids are seeing men be denigrated just to even the score a little bit. I don't like it either, Dad. I'm right there with you. Still maybe a little feminist.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.